the morning Talmidim, Svarim HaKadoshim bring down that usually the weeks around Pesach are the weeks that we learn the parshas of Shemini, Sazria, Metzora, and a reason, a remez for that, that during Pesach we spend so much time, Pesach, that our mouth should be talking Dvarim Shebekdusha. Our mouth should elevate us. What comes out of our mouth, things that we talk about during Pesach, the mitzvah of Magid, the mitzvah of Agada, Sipatis Mitzrayim, the mitzvah of Achilas Matzah, the mitzvah of Achilas Marah. Our mouth is a big focus over Pesach. We completely kasher our mouth, that things that come into our mouth, things that come out of our mouth should be pure Kedusha. So the weeks around Pesach, we learn the parshas of Shemini. Shemini discusses the things that could come into our mouth. What types of foods are kosher? What I have to be careful for? To look out to make sure that we're not over on Teloim. Everything that comes into our mouth is ois gehalten and it's fully kosher without any suffix of kashrus. And not that we rely on the Terim. Okay, there is a heter somewhere, so we're going to rely on the Terim. We're careful to make sure that we are lechatchila de geyidin. That what comes into our mouth, the foods that we eat, are lechatchila, the highest level, the highest standards of kashrus, Pasha Shemini. And then comes Pasha Sazria Metzora, where the Gemara brings down that one of the reasons why Tzaraas comes is because of Lashon Hara, the chet of Allah, the offering of Lashon Hara. So on Pasha Sazria Metzora, we strengthen ourselves by learning the halachas of Tzaraas to make sure that we're careful with what comes out of our mouth. That should always be kosher, to the highest level of kashrus, that we shouldn't say anything that's questionable, whether it's could be hurtful or could be damaging to anyone else. So Pesach is when we completely rejuvenate the kashrus of our mouth. We make sure that what comes out of our mouth is all mitzvahs, and what comes into our mouth is mitzvahs. And now we learn the parshas, how to maintain that throughout the year. So yes, Parshas Shemini, Parshas Yom Tzur have a connection to Pesach, where all of it focuses around what comes into our mouth and what goes out of our mouth. The Heilige Chofetz Chaim Zecher Tzadik Kodesh Livracha says that when back in the day, today, many kids don't even see it. We used to write a letter. Today everything works with email. Today everything works with a press of a button. You can get whatever message you want out. But back in the day, if you wanted to give over a message from one place to another place, whether it was a telegram, whether it was a letter, you would write a letter. And you have to address the letter, and you have to write who the letter is going to. Outside in the envelope, you have to write who the letter is going to, where it's coming from. You have to make sure it has the proper postage, and you have to make sure that it's closed, it's sealed, whether you lick it or you put glue on it, whatever it is, you put tape on it. There was a whole process. Giving over a message took a long time. Many steps had to be taken in order to be able to give over the message. And then you have to make sure that the postage is correct postage. Because if there was one mistake, either wasn't addressed right. It was addressed to one place. The state is a wrong state. Recently we got an invitation. So in Metchassin, they wrote an invitation. Chicago, Ohio. Many people on the East Coast, in Ohio, Illinois, Nevada, California, it's the same state. But so okay, but Lamaisis is only coming. It's not the Chiddush that arrived. But back in the day, if you didn't write the proper zip code, the letter didn't arrive. So the Heilige Chofetz Chaim, can you imagine if we would be so careful with the verbal messages that come out of our mouth? One second, is it addressed to the right person? Is the postage for, are all the levels of mailing the letter, there's so many steps that have to work out in order for the letter to arrive. Do we put that much machshava in something that comes out of our mouth, a sentence that we say to someone else, to make sure that it arrives to the right person with the right postage, with the right message, without hurting anyone at any... Can you imagine if we would make such chishbainas? People wouldn't say anything. But yes, perhaps, maybe sometimes we shouldn't be saying anything if what we are going to be saying could be in any way hurtful to someone else. I was on the phone yesterday. There was a reshiva in Lakewood that we're discussing a Talmud, a specific Talmud, starting the Nusman. So we're discussing the Talmud. The reshiva tells me that one of the milas, this man, and he thinks it's going to be a mila for this Talmud, that there's 9 boys that are not returning to his yeshiva. I said, 9 boys that are not returning to the yeshiva? So he says, yeah, Baruch Hashem, 5 of the Bachram, he's sending off to Yisrael to learn Yisrael, Baruch Hashem, Mamish, and they're ready to go into a yeshiva in Yisrael, where they can continue growing, continue steiging. And four of the boys we asked not to come back to yeshiva. I said, four Talmidim were asked not to come back to yeshiva? What's happening? So yeshiva tells me, I have no issue with the boy that has a hard time learning. Boy that has a hard time learning, I'll do whatever it takes to explain the Gemara. We'll do whatever it takes to make sure his chavrusa, he's set up for success. He gets the support that he's needed. I have no problem with that. The bachur that doesn't have that much of a cheshek of learning, I have no problem with that either. We can work on the cheshek. We could make motivation. We could do incentives. We could do baby steps. We could try to help him out as much as possible. The boy that's a bit of a behavioral problem, I don't have an issue with that either. We can make modifications. We can give him a break. We could do that. He can make a coffee. The things to be done that would... But there's one type of bachur that is poisonous to the yeshiva, and we have four of them, and they can't come back. He tells me these four boys have attitude problems. Attitude problems means that they go around, this is horrible, this is disgusting, this is not good, that's not good, this yeshiva is horrible, Negative talk. Negative talk. You just walk around talking negative about things, whether it's about people, whether it's about the yeshiva, whether it's about the food. The one that complains about everything. If it will be one thing that he's complaining about, no problem, we'll fix that complaint. But if he goes from complaint to complaint to complaint, he said we had four Talmidim that were struggling with attitudes. And that, I can't change. If they don't decide on their own that they want to work on their attitude, then there's nothing that I can do to keep them in yeshiva. It pains me that I have to ask them not to come back to yeshiva. Yet you should know the yeshiva is going to be in a much better place without these four boys, not because they're troublemakers, because their attitude brings out the environment of the yeshiva. It doesn't allow those that want to succeed to be able to be successful because they create an environment where everything is blah. Everything is bad. Everything is negative. Everything is horrible. Everything is bad. That we can't have in the yeshiva. What creates that environment? What creates that environment is the messages that come out of our mouth. If we're upbeat, if we're excited, if we're happy, if we see, okay, there's a problem, okay, no problem, but we can work through it, then people enjoy that person. So the psukim in this week's parsha, Sazri and Mitzor especially, focuses on the tzaraat. You should know that when you talk bad things, when we talk negative things, it can create a physical, tzaraat is really, it's a physical impression that comes from a spiritual thing. It creates bad. We have to be careful. Everything that comes out of our mouth should be such kedusha, such positive things. And you know what? Yes, everyone has struggles. Everybody has challenges. But what's the message to come out of our mouth? How careful are we to make sure that what comes out of our mouth is not blah, is not bringing down an attitude? Gemara tells us, Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin says that discusses Tzvadeh, the Makas Tzvadeh, the frog. So Rabbi Akiva says that the Makas Tzvadeh was that one huge frog came down, and it was such a big frog that it covered the entire Mitzrayim. Entire Mitzrayim was covered with that one huge frog. Can you imagine how big that frog was? So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah tells Rabbi Akiva, Haggadah, stories, is not your place. Don't come tell us stories about one big frog coming to cover up the Gantz of Mitzrayim. For Haggadah, go learn Negoim v'Aholos. Go learn the Halachas of Nega. Go learn, that's your place. Don't come tell us stories about a big frog coming covering. It doesn't make any sense. You have a cup, you have a Gevaldigen cup that could do much more than such stories. Go learn the Hilchas of Negoim. So Asor brought out Sefer Me'echesko and asks, what was the back and forth here? Well, what did Rabbi Akiva feel? And what was the response of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah to tell him, keep your beautiful stories. Go learn Hilchas Negoim v'Aholos. Go learn the real heavy-duty halachas. So it brings down that we know that the Makas were also called the Nega. Oid Nega. Because Rabbi says, I'm still going to bring another Nega. I'm going to bring another Makas. The Makas are called the Nega. We know by the Hilchas Negoim that if, let's say, someone gets a huge nega on his entire body, one big nega on his entire body, then it's not called a nega, it's not called tzaraas, it's not a problem. When is it a problem? If there's a whole bunch of small tzaras, and if it accumulates to cover the whole body, even though it covers the whole body, but since there were a whole bunch of small tzaras, that's when it's called tzaras, that's when it's called a negative, that's when the person is tamei. So you see from here, from the Hilchos Negoim, that one big nega is not considered a nega, it's not considered a maka. Now, what was Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah? It wasn't one big tzfardeya. There were a whole bunch of other tzfardeya. Now he says, yes, it could be that there was one big tzfardeya, but that one big tzfardeya went and called out to all of his friends from all around the world, and they came and joined him, and that was the maka of tzfardeya. It wasn't just one tzfardeya. Yes, it was one big tzfardeya, but he went and called all the smaller tzvardeyas, and they all came gathered together. That caused a plague that the entire Mitzrayim was covered with all the small friends that came to join that big tzvardeya. So listen to what's going on here between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Rabbi Akiva says it was one big thing, because it seemed like one big frog had the power to cause damage to entire Mitzrayim. Rabbi Elazar says, one big makkah, one big tzvardeya is not called a makkah, is not called a nega. Because one big person has no power if they don't attract others. If they don't attract a whole bunch of other people that can be as big as possible, that's not tamei, that's not tzaras. You know what the problem is when it comes to talking lashon hara? You know what the problem is when it comes to making fun of something else, of someone else? Is when you get a whole bunch of other people to chirp along with you, and they gather all together, that's a maka. That's a nega. If the one big tzvardeya that came out there, he was the only one that was chirping away and making the sound or whatever it's called for the tzvardim do, it wouldn't have affected anybody else. If everybody else would have ignored him, it wouldn't have been a maka. You know when it's a maka? When he attracts a whole bunch of lack of attitude people. When he attracts a whole bunch of other negative people, and they all start chirping, and they all gather together, and they all start making, that's a maka. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, it sounds like a nice story, a big maka, a big tzvardeya that came in, but go learn Hilchos Negoim. In Hilchos Negoim, you see, one big maka that covers everything is not a maka, it's not a tzaraas. You know why? Because it doesn't damage anyone. Okay, big deal, it's a piece of show and tell. But if there's a whole bunch of small ones that come and connect themselves to that big one, if everybody decides, you know what, I also want to, okay, it sounds like fun to make fun of this, to make fun of that. Okay, this is not good, that's not good, the Rebbe's not good, the teacher's not good, the friend is not good, this is not good, the Mashgiach is not good. Okay, it could be true. But you get a whole bunch of people to start a whole ring of chirpers that this is not good and that's not good. That creates a certain level of attitude that is a gefährliche, gefährliche Macke. And that was the machlokes between Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Akiva. And then Rabbi Akiva was maskim. It's true. One person by himself, one tzvardeya by himself, doesn't have much power. But then when you create a whole bunch of smaller chirpers, a whole bunch of smaller other people come and join with those negative attitudes and the negative talk, the lashon hara, that can create a terrible makkah. That can create destruction. Growing up, there used to be jokes that they used to make. Baruch Hashem, I think those jokes, they stopped. A lot of those jokes stopped. Used to make jokes about Polaks. There was a story with three Polaks. One Polak this, one Polak that. Then there was other jokes. There was three Schwarzes. One this, one that, one that. There were three. Baruch Hashem, again, I like to believe that these type of jokes stopped. Because what happens is, you start characterizing people in a negative light. It happens to be that from my father's side, we come from Poland. My father's father was a Talmud of the Chofetz Chaim. So once you start characterizing people into a group, it seems like all the people that come from that group, you have an agenda about that you want to make fun of. I think that we're in a much better place, that a lot of these type of jokes are not being used anymore. Because by us making fun of a certain population, of making a joke about certain types of people, again, it creates a negative attitude. It creates a negative. We get used to making jokes about other people. We're not here to make jokes about other people. The Manal gave a shiur yesterday to the Rabbi. Every week, Manal gives a shiur to the Rabbi. 2 weeks. And an unbelievable set, Manal brought down a beautiful Gemara. The Gemara brings down, it's very hard to understand the Pashut Pshat of the Gemara. The Manal brought down two beautiful Pshutim about the, how to understand that Gemara. There was an Adam Chashev that told another person, "You are so horrible looking. Ugh. You look horrible." So the person said, "If you have an issue with my looks, go to the one that created me. Have the discussion with him." Referring to, you want to make fun the way I, about how I look? I don't get credit for how I look. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created me. Don't make fun of me. So the Manal was discussing, what was the dialogue, the back and forth? Pashut Pshat is very hard to understand. The Manal said one beautiful Pshat, that it wasn't that the person looks bad. His davening, while he was davening, he was walking around, he was making this, and he was busy with 10 other things instead of davening. So the reference wasn't to the actual person's looks. It was, this is how you daven. You know how horrible your davening looks like? You're talking to Melech Machem Lochem, you're talking to a king? That's how you daven? It was one beautiful pshat that went another pshat as well. But let's take Pashut Pshat, but we can't understand because we're not talking about regular people having a conversation. We're talking about hechor people. Making fun of another person's looks. You're not making fun of the person. You're making fun of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every person that's alive today is Ma'aseh of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created that person. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Yidden. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Lahavdil Goyim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created so many other nations out there. Everything that's in this world is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creation. If we make fun of another person, "Oh, you're such a tall guy, you're such a shorty, you're a fatty, you're a skinny, you're whatever you are, I'm a whole bunch of..." You're not making fun of the person. You're throwing an insult at HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he's the one that made the person that way. The person that's skinny isn't because he's starving himself, and the person that's fat isn't because he's eating a ton. That's not the case. So the doctors may make you think. It has nothing to do with eating. I just met someone, he can eat one portion after another portion, another portion, another portion, and then when he's finished about four or five main courses, then he can sit down and eat four or five desserts. And he's skinny as my finger. It has nothing to do with eating. Okay, the doctors will say whatever. If we tell a person, you know, your nose is like crooked, your ear is upside down, your stomach is like, you're not making fun, you're not hurting the person. You're literally insulting a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Kodesh Baruch Hu made him that way for a reason. So if I'm fat today, if I'm skinny today, it's nothing to do with me. There is a reason why Kodesh Baruch Hu wants me to be the way I am. And I am proud of who I am. And if you throw an insult, it's not an insult to me. Lech el Uman, go to the Uman, go to the craftsman that created me. So when we throw out an insult, who is it hurting? It's hurting yourself. It's hurting me when I say an insult. It's bringing me down. It's creating that chirper, that tzifadeya, to create more people to say negative things. So the Yom Tov Pesach that we just had now was to kasher our mouth, to be careful what comes out of our mouth. Yes, for sure, we have to be careful what comes. If we be as careful with what comes out of our mouth, just as careful as we are what comes into our mouth, the world will be a much better place. You would have happy people. You would have happy environments. You would have upbeat people. You would have people in good moods. You would have people would be happier. But if you look for the bad, you look and you continuously talk about the negative things. Okay, this is such a problem. That's a problem. That's not good. That's not good. That's not good. That's a makkah. That's worse than makkah svadeya. That can kill people. It can kill an environment. It can kill a yeshiva. And that's what the yeshiva says. That type of boy, I can't keep my yeshiva. It's poisonous. We are not poison. We are not those tzvardeya. We are not those frogs. We don't go and put people in a box and say, okay, they're part of this, they're part of that. Story that I repeated this a few times already. But I think it's, to say it again, 1 year we were invited to Camp Nagila. Camp Nagila is a kid of camp that deals with those that are not from yet. Those that are not associated that much with Yiddishkeit, and it's a kiruv camp. So Friday, they have a lot of the staff members are from Torah, coming from full places, not come from Lakewood, not come from here, from different places. And the kids are all from Friar homes. It was Friday afternoon, and I'm walking from the bungalow that I was staying to the Beis Medrash to where they were davening. And outside one of the bungalows, there were some kids that were playing. Now those kids, from kids, I don't want to characterize that they came from Lakewood because I don't know where they came from, but it could be. They came from, I mean, they're used to seeing Heimish Eden, and they saw me walking with my Shtramel towards the Beis Medrash. So they start joking between themselves. Oh, look, there's a Yoli walking. Look, there's a Yoli walking there. A Yoli walking. Now, what's Yoli? Where does it come from? Let me educate you. When I was a kid, he was a great, great tzaddik. Heilige, heilige Satmar Rebbe Zecher Tzaddik Kodesh Avracha. The heilige Satmar Rebbe's name was Rabbi Yoilish Teitelbaum. Rabbi Yoil Teitelbaum. So back in the day, he was probably one of the biggest Hasidus in New York. Between Satmar, Lubavitch, Klosenberg, they were probably the biggest Hasidus in New York. So when kids that didn't know much about Hasidus, and they would call him, oh, a Yoili, he's a Satmar. He's from Yoili, he's from Rabbi Heilige, Rabbi Yoilish is Tamina. So the name Yoili came from the Heilige Satmar Rebbe. So if anyone sees me and he would call me the Satmar Rebbe, it's the biggest compliment ever. You know how hard I still have to work in order to reach to get to the toenails of the Heilige Satmar Rebbe? A lifetime of work, I probably won't reach anywhere close to where the Satmar Rebbe was up to. So if they would see me walking with my shlamo, they would say, look, I see a Rebbe walking. It would be a chizik, but I know that I'm not a Rebbe yet. But you call me a Yoili, it's like almost a derogatory term. Look, he's a chizik. Yeah, he's a Yoili. He's a Yoili. You're making fun of Rabbi Yoili, not my Rebbe you're making fun of. But it became like an acceptable way to make fun of a group of chizidim. So what happens? I walk into the Beis Medrash, whole bunch of friar kids sitting there, secular kids, completely secular, coming from secular families, and they're all like, wow! They stand up. Everyone stands up. Wow, Rabbi, what is that on your head? What is that called? And I start talking. It's a shtreimel. I take it off and I let them pet it and I let them feel it. And look, I told them it's not alive. You don't have to be scared of it. And they all looked at it and they want to know the origin of it. They want to know where it's coming from. There was such haracha. There was such chashivas. Wow, that's why you're wearing it. You're showing that you're proud to be a yid. You're proud, you're never going to allow yourself to be prosecuted. And we went through a whole history of the Shtreimel. There's so much meaning behind it and such chashivas behind it, if that's the meaning of where you come from. But it's something to be proud of. To be, he's a Lubavitcher. He's a dead. You know what it means to, for someone that belongs to Lubavitcher, you know what it means to be a Lubavitcher? You know what that means? You know what, that before they get married, they finish Masechtas, they finish Shmicha, they know, they have a different mahalach. And if every yid has that works towards a goal to become closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I wish I can be there. That's my life goal. But unfortunately, if something that we don't necessarily understand, or for some reason there is some type of a politics, or there's different of opinions within the Gedolim, it's not our place to make fun of a yid. It's not our place to characterize and say he's this, nah, he's that, he's that. That creates negative talk, that creates a negative environment, that creates belittling someone that wants to do something that's great. And Rabbi said, it's not only with Eden, as I said before. Every creation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Masa Yodai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created that person. He's a Polak, he's a Romanian, he's a Shvarta, he's a this, he's a that. So if, again, you don't know his name, but you want to say so you want to identify, but today that became an insult. You're insulting because, okay, he's not smart because he belongs to that. He looks like this. He's that there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave everybody the smarts, the ability to what his tafkid is in this world. And yes, every person that's alive today has a tafkid. You're not the one that could even understand the minuscule reasoning why another person is here. So for you to make fun of a person, for you to characterize someone, for you to isolate, for you to say negative, the only person that's being hurt is yourself. Come to this week's parsha and strengthens us and is mechazik us. Don't be that chirping frog that makes fun of others, that brings a nega, that brings a maka, that brings destruction. You just want a kasher and you kashered your mouth over Pesach. Continue that. Only say things that are good. Only say dvarim shebekdusha. Only comments that come out of your mouth should be uplifting, should be meaningful, should be caring about others. Things that come in your mouth, things that come out of your mouth, all of it should be measured to make sure that everything is done perfectly. And with that, we'll have an environment, a happy environment, a caring environment, a loving environment. But that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. to create more ahava, to create more. I had the chance to be with Reb Shimon Galai last night, and he's coming today. He's a ish tzaddik ad ma'oid. And you can see, he looks at a paper, he looks at names, he sees hechera things. He was Mekadosh's eyes. He was Mekadosh's mouth. You can see the Ruach HaKodesh that comes out of him. How does that happen? It's someone that worked on himself. It's someone that worked on their eyes. It's someone that worked on his mouth. And he told me, today everybody needs avarakai. Today everybody needs a nigun. Everybody needs chizuk. Everybody needs uplifting, he tells me. It's not the chassidim, the litvisha, the misnagdim, the whatever. Everybody, you put them all together. We're all the same. Avoid this Hashem. We're all here to be mekadosh our eyes, mekadosh our mouth. And yes, we can all reach a level of Ruach HaKodesh. Takes work. The opposite work of the Tzuvadeya. If we focus on that, we'll have the koyach to become tzaddikim gedolim. We say it every day after davening, after shachris, and after mincha, we say ketulim, and we have a mind that chen by his soul, even there on Eretz Yisrael. It's important to have a mind. I heard that there's a lot of fires going on today in Eretz Yisrael. Wildfires, even many of our relatives' areas, they have to be evacuated for fires in Eretz Yisrael. We still continue to say Tehillim for the hostages, for the people that are in trouble, people that need help. Eretz Yisrael needs help. It should continue to be in our tefillos. But not only in our tefillos. Not only screaming Amen after the Mincha thing, after the Achenu, like a loud Amen, and with that, with Ogopata, the Yantzah Tehillim, we didn't have to say Tehillim because we said Amen afterward. The Tehillim should be as Kavana, as it's a relative of yours. It's someone that you know. It's Achenu B'nai Yisrael. They're considered our brothers. May the Yidden Netzisrael have Yeshua. May all of us have Yeshua. And may we lead Kedusha with the higher lives.